A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Paul Gallant.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
The most interactive sports radio show in Houston.
Paul, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the devastation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
There's a ball high and deep to right field. Forget about it. Jordan Alvarez, a three-run bomb. It's 4-2.
What were you saying?
This is the part where I say, "Told you so." Wasn't crushed. But Jordan is man enough to just muscle it out of here.
I know a lot of you people will not be surprised to know that I missed Jordan. There was the pause there. I missed seeing Jordan Alvarez home runs. He had that beautiful bomb. Last night, the Astros went 7-3. They're half a game back of the Texas Rangers in the AL West. Welcome aboard the Paul Gallant Show on the first day of August 2023, a Tuesday. It is also the day of baseball's trade deadline, and we'll get you all the latest with the Justin Verlander rumors that hit the internet streets last night in fervor. Does seem unrealistic, but we'll get to that in a moment. I wanted to talk about last night's game. First off, I really hope that this is the start of a hot streak for Jordan Alvarez. Amazingly, even though he hit that one last night, he said after the game through a translator, "I don't want to call them lucky hits, but I've been battling at the plate, and it's one of those things where I've been there before. I'm going to continue working. It's just a thing where I need to play more games, just continue working on it and try to get back to where I was before," because he's uncomfortable right now. If that's Jordan Alvarez uncomfortable, neato, splendid, wonderful. But let's talk about the guy who has been really the biggest stud for the Houston Astros, the most consistent player for a while. J.P. France is the best Astros story this season. 2 runs on 7 hits, 2 walks, struck out 6. His 3rd consecutive start of 7 innings, his 5th of the year, a 2.85 ERA, the lowest by any Astros pitcher in his first 15 career appearances. And since June 29th, he's 5-0 with a 1.88 ERA, a 1.17 walks, hits per innings pitched over 6 starts. This has been such a great story, and I don't want to sound like a dork, right? I don't want to sound too sentimental, but Sean Mapes, isn't this what sports are all about? You know, the underdog coming in, working his whole life for that once-in-a-lifetime shot. And he comes in and he dominates. This is what sports are all about. And I know I sound sarcastic when I say that. I'm not being sarcastic. This story is incredible. And again, this is what sports are all about. Is this motivational to you, Sean, in your everyday life?
No.
Why not?
Not really.
Why not?
Because I don't see myself.
It's never too late.
I don't see myself as an underdog in the radio game.
You don't see yourself as an underdog in the radio game.
Not really.
Okay, fair enough. I see myself as an underdog. I see myself, J.P. France and me, are we the same guy? 713-780-3776, you know?
Isn't he married to a reality TV star?
Well, okay, never mind. But that's the next step. Paul Gallant gets married to a reality. Yes. Yes. I want to get married to someone who is just completely dramatic. And then
someone who's the first cut on The Bachelorette.
Well, no. We're shooting higher than that. We're shooting higher than that.
I didn't know the hierarchy. I apologize.
No, we want to get somebody who they bring me into their show, and then I become the star of the show after dating said reality star.
But that's not what J.P. France is doing.
Right, exactly.
So you just want...
I just want to be famous.
Be on TV. Okay.
Yeah, I do. Yes, everyone knows this. Anyway, it's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Hockley Dad asks, has France done enough to have a spot on next year's rotation? 100%. This has been an incredible story. I feel like he has. Do you know that Luis Garcia is going to be back at the start of the year? Is Lance McCullers ever going to pitch again? I will say about last night's Astros win before we talk about the trade deadline later this afternoon. They are very lucky that Noah Syndergaard got pulled from that game, because Syndergaard had the Astros right where he wanted them. Two hits until he walked Jose Altuve to start the sixth. Altuve stole second. Jeremy Peña hit a ball that bounced off of Syndergaard's leg. Syndergaard left the game. But hey, you take the breaks that you can. Half a game back of the Texas Rangers. Now let's talk about the news that dropped last night. And I suppose it's more of a rumor for those who listen to ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 late at night from 7 to 9. Patrick Creighton hosts the show Late Hits. He had baseball writer Bob Nightingale aboard the program to ask about what's going on with the Astros with Justin Verlander.
Well, they picked up aggressive talks yesterday. So they're going back and forth on this. A lot of talks. It's more the ownership ranks now because so much money's involved. Dodgers are involved as well. They got more prospects. Again, the hang-up is that option year in 2025. But they were kind of out of it a couple of days ago. Now they're definitely, you know, big-time in it. I think he's going to end up an Astro. I do.
He thinks Justin Verlander will end up an Astro. There was also a report in The Athletic, Chandler Rome, Ken Rosenthal working on that. Multiple sources briefed on the discussions told The Athletic yesterday the Astros remain involved in the Justin Verlander talks. Some believe a return to Houston is the future Hall of Famer's preferred outcome because of his relationship with owner Jim Crane. Astros general manager Dana Brown said on the team's pregame show Sunday the team was not in the market for a starter, but Verlander fits the description of a starter. Sources said the Astros have shifted their focus towards adding a starter. He has a no-trade clause. He can control the process. The Dodgers have spoken with the New York Mets. The Baltimore Orioles have spoken with the New York Mets. Both teams have better farm systems. So really, I wonder how this deal gets done. And I do think that some of the people that are putting this rumor out there, they're not wrong about Verlander being interested in returning. My big question is, why would the Mets do this? When you have Justin Verlander and you're trying to get something for him, what is your incentive to trade Verlander for essentially nothing? Because I think that's what a lot of people here are expecting to happen. Maybe if Jim Crane takes all of that salary, they won't have to give up somebody like Drew Gilbert in their farm system. But just based off the negotiations this past winter, does Jim Crane seem likely to do that? Not really. So now you ask the question, what do the Astros have to offer the Dodgers, the Mets, that the Dodgers and the Orioles do not? And this doesn't mean that Verlander is going to end up with the Dodgers or end up with the Orioles. He has that no trade clause. It's more a matter of what can you give the Mets that makes it worth their while? And I just don't see what they have. And with all of the rumors that were being floated last night, the reports as well, I kind of feel bad for Dana Brown. Now, look, he's a general manager. He's handsomely paid for his services. But it feels like the rug is being pulled out from underneath him, either by Jim Crane or by others. And now there's so many people that are excited about the possibility of Justin Verlander returning. Dana Brown could, because of no fault of his own, end up looking bad because Jim Crane wanted to make a deal happen that was very unrealistic. That's where I'm at right now. It just seems very unrealistic. Not possible for Verlander to end up here. And it would be great, but I guess ask yourself this question as well. What's more likely to happen? Justin Verlander returns to the Astros, starts pitching the way that he did last year, helps the starting rotation, helps the bullpen and all the arms be less fatigued as we get closer and closer to the postseason, pitching at a level that he pitched at last year, which was such a high level, or the pitchers for the Astros currently on the roster that are not pitching up to the level we know they're capable of Framber Valdez or and Christian Javier and or Hunter Brown and or Jose Urquidy when he comes back, those guys all pitch at a plus level. I think the latter is more likely. And I know that we're all in this mindset of, well, the Texas Rangers did what they did on Sunday or over the weekend. They get Max Scherzer and they get Jordan Montgomery. But I don't think that you have to match what Texas did by bringing in a Verlander. And I think we're all going to end up at the end of the day at 5 o'clock Central Time at the trade deadline disappointed that a deal didn't go down. But we'll keep you posted on that all show long. 713-780-3776 to call in and to text in. This makes Dana Brown look bad, right? And what is more likely? Verlander comes here, pitches the way he did last year, or the guys that you currently have get back to pitching better? Because if it's the latter, what's the point of making this trade if you're the Astros, where you're probably going to have to give up somebody like Drew Gilbert? 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in as well on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. You can join us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Stick around.
Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
Some thoughts from you, the people, on the possibility of Justin Verlander rejoining the Astros by this afternoon's 5 o'clock Central trade deadline. Double Rods, twitch.tv/ESPN975 says, get Jeff Bagel on the phone so he can trade for JV and sign him to an extension in the process. Oh, boy. There's been a lot of good points made about why it doesn't make that much sense to bring in Verlander. This is a good one from Mike Mitchell, who's a good Astros follow on Twitter, though he does constantly criticize Dusty Baker's lineups. And I'm like, just come on, man. There are more things in life than Dusty Baker's lineup. But he said a 2025 Astros team paying $55 million to 42-year-old Justin Verlander and 38-year-old Jose Abreu. Jesus, ow, that hurts. That hurts my stomach. Is going to have a hard time employing Altuve and Bregman, and so is either going to stink or have a $260 to $300 million payroll. If Crane wants to go close to $300 million, great. But it does make things a little bit more difficult. An interesting point from Mr. Brostash on the Twitch as well. Twitch.tv/ESPN975. Only way I would take JV back long term is if he played for free or for a 90% discount. He sat the bench for 2 years and made $60 million. Well, I wonder how this guy feels about Lance McCullers' contract with that in mind. Anyway. Guys, it is a sad day, this August 1st of 2023. I lost someone very close to me. You know, this world isn't easy. There's a lot of things that can really just bring you down. Like, I don't know, State Farm completely bleeping up my totaled car to the point where I still don't have a car today. And then they lost the message that I sent them that has my title and the, you know, thing that allows me to get money. It's like they lost it in Louisiana. So that's going great. Like sometimes things like that happen. Other times, tragedy strikes. But, you know, one thing I've never turned to is one of the darkest and most dangerous things in the entire world. It's called crack cocaine. And Pee Wee Herman is the reason that I never did it.
This is crack, rock cocaine. It isn't glamorous or cool or kid stuff.
It's not.
It's the most addictive kind of cocaine, and it can kill you. What's really bad is nobody knows how much it takes. So every time you use it, you risk dying. It isn't worth it. Look. Everybody wants to be cool. But doing it with crack isn't just wrong. It could be dead wrong.
Didn't say it's not cool at the end, but hearing that from Pee Wee Herman, also known as Paul Reubens, kept me on the straight and narrow. Sad news yesterday is that Paul Reubens, the actor known for playing Pee Wee Herman, died Sunday night after a private bout with cancer, which he had been dealing with for 6 years. He was 70 years old. Pretty crazy to think that he was 70. If you're somebody who grew up in the 1980s, it was a little bit before my time, but I still was able to watch Pee Wee's Big Adventure, which is Tim Burton's first full-length movie. There was Pee Wee's Playhouse. There was Big Top Pee Wee. He was everywhere. He was even on SNL. He was also in Batman Returns, Blow, Mystery Men. And of course, there was that incident in 1991, a weird sting operation, where I guess he was caught taking himself to Happy Town in an adult movie theater. But this is a guy who was a cultural icon in the 1980s. And I believe, Sean, we have more clips of Pee Wee Herman from back in the day.
Ooh. Some night, huh?
On this very night, 10 years ago, along this same stretch of road, in a dense fog, just like this, I saw the worst accident I ever seen. There was this sound, like a garbage truck dropped off the Empire State Building. And when they finally pulled the driver's body from the twisted, burning wreck, it looked like this. Yes, sir. That was the worst accident I ever seen.
I get off right up here.
Large Marge. A terrifying figure.
Have a nice day.
Be sure and tell him Large Marge sent ya.
It's such a stupid scene, but it's so funny. The first time I watched that, I think it was, what, like 9 or something like that. Very, very funny scene. Someone's asking me, E315, let's hear your best Pee Wee impersonation, Pauly. Damn, I don't know if I can do one. I've never done a Pee Wee impersonation. Right? Is that it? Is that enough?
Yeah, I think that's about crack. All you need.
Be careful in movie theater. Feel bad saying that, you know, after he passed away. He did bring us a lot of great memories, and I know some people on the Twitch are saying, yeah, he also taught us you could do certain things in certain places. Hey, watch your mouth, okay? Look, cultural icon. It's weird, too, because he's been out of the limelight for such a long time. I mean, shoot, that was 1991. I didn't know it was when I was 2 that incident went down, because he basically got blackballed after that happened. And I think that they actually brought some version of Pee Wee back on Netflix in like the 2010s, like early 2010s or something like that. I don't know. I didn't actually watch it, but it was a great movie. Excuse me. He himself was a great franchise. E315 says the Ernest movies are better than Pee Wee. I only saw one of the Ernest movies. I guess these were movies that were designed specifically for kids. I don't know. I feel like Adam Sandler stole the ball from them with his early 90s classics and took it for good. Those are the best, I think, movies that are probably not for kids, but are for kids. Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore, like those two, fantastic movies. I'm pretty sure that they were geared for like young adults. But I remember watching it when I was 8.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, is that there's these movies that are like explicitly for children.
Yeah.
That are like basically only for kids. And as a kid, you kind of pick up on it. And then there is like the Adam Sandler's of the world and different comedies like of that ilk where it's not really for kids, but there's a lot of like jokes that kids would enjoy.
Yeah.
And so
I think it's because it's just so ridiculous and stupid, and you laughed your ass off at it. Like the idea of Large Marge, this ghost trucker, and when they pulled her from the burning wreckage, like that is a line that I have no idea why it's been stuck in my head as long as it has. But that part, that specific part, has been stuck in my head. I don't know what it is about it either, Sean. Did you have, what was for you, because you're younger than me, did you have, like, was there one thing growing up that was, like, an adult kid show?
Oh, an adult kid show.
Like, something along the same lines. Because the only other one I remember that was from when I was growing up was Blue's Clues, and everyone wondered, like, when Steve just went off the grid, if Steve had, like, gone and done drugs or pulled a Dave Chappelle or something like that. And then he came back with, like, a video, I think, like, either last year or the year before.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I remember that when he came back.
Yeah.
He's bald now. That's all I remember from it. He was bald now. I don't really know about, like, adult kids show. Like, I don't know. I kind of watched kid shows, and then I just watched, like, adult shows. I didn't have that, like, weird in the – or not weird, but, like, that, like, in the middle time where you're still, like, watching, like, Nickelodeon, but you're watching the more adult Nickelodeon, like the sitcom Nickelodeon shows and stuff. Like, I don't know. I kind of went straight from that, like, you know, SpongeBob and all those stuff to, like, I don't know, ESPN and whatever's on cable.
SpongeBob is, I think, in that realm. It's about the same kind of humor. Ernest, again, I'm unfamiliar with. But Pee-wee Herman, SpongeBob, yeah. I feel like there's an overlap there as far as, like, the kind of humor they were going for. You could probably watch it as an adult and still get a couple of chuckles at it out of it. Ren and Stimpy, that's a great one brought up. E315 brings up Shrek as well. King of the Hill says another. This is a bad admission for me because living in Texas, I feel like I have to. I've never watched King of the Hill. I might start watching King of the Hill just as some background TV in the near future.
I think that's like a step ahead of – that's like closer to adult animation.
Right. That's like Simpsons, Family Guy,
yeah,
South Park.
It's very Simpsons-y Family Guy.
Right. But it's probably a little bit more family-oriented, more of a sitcom kind of vibe to
Maybe
it.
Maybe more than Family Guy. Well, Family Guy will get some jokes in there. You're like, whoa.
It's South Park as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Simpsons were – I was not allowed to watch The Simpsons growing up. And then I remember watching them for the first time because I used to sneak watch South Park all of the time, thinking to myself, wow, this is very tame. And it might have been because I saw South Park first because The Simpsons walked so South Park could run, et cetera, et cetera. Beavis and Butthead, I wasn't allowed to watch that either. I wasn't allowed to watch MTV. This is why I'm musically challenged. I was not allowed to watch MTV growing up, ever.
When I was like an actual kid, like a kid, I wasn't allowed to watch Rugrats.
I wasn't either.
Because quote, my mom was like, the kids same. Run away every time.
Oh, it was because the kid's running away. Okay.
Yeah, it was because it was like, yeah, I don't want you to run away and think it'll work out okay because it works out for those Rugrats.
Dude. I wasn't allowed to watch Nickelodeon at all because Angelica, and I quote, was a bitch per one of my parents. I won't say who because I don't think that person wants their name on the air, but it's one of the two.
I mean, it's a 50-50.
It's one of the two. It's one of the two. Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We're getting some great contributions as far as like the kids adult show. I think you guys know what I'm trying to go for here. We'll read some more of them. Plus, we're 37 days away from the start of the NFL season. We'll keep you posted if there's anything new with the Astros and Justin Verlander. Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
We're ready for some football, baby. Dad,
hush! The countdown to the NFL season continues on the Paul Galacho.
Greatest 37 of all time. I say Rodney Harrison. Rodney Harrison. Why, Paul? He's one of the dirtiest players of all time. I don't care. Two-time Super Bowl champion. Two-time first-team All-Pro. Two-time Pro Bowler. That's it? Was thought to be the dirtiest player in the league. And Bill Belichick may have brought Harrison in 2003 to start fights in practice with a team that he thought had become complacent the year before. It worked. They won 21 games in a row from 03 to 04, two titles over that stretch. Rodney Harrison, everybody. Also, famously, the guy who got posterized by David Tyree during the infamous helmet catch of Super Bowl 42. We have some more texts coming in and comments coming in from our listeners about adult TV shows that may have been for kids or kids TV shows that may have been for adults. There's this weird little gray area. It's kind of murky. One text, King of the Hill is funnier and better than Futurama and Family Guy. I think for Futurama, that's a low bar to clear. Futurama was creative, but I never thought that Futurama was very funny, if you will.
I thought it was funny, but also I only watched it when I got home from school when I was like 16.
Right.
So like I'm not sure.
Comedy
I'm not
Central,
sure
right?
If it holds up. Yeah, on Comedy Central. Where would it be on from like 3 p.m. to 7 p.m.?
They just brought it back on Hulu.
Yeah.
New episodes, and I have no interest in watching them.
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm somewhat interested, but realistically, like, I'm not really going to sit down and watch it.
There's some other show on Netflix made by the same people as The Simpsons, and it's about some, like, weird fantasy land or something
oh,
like that.
Oh, yeah.
I forget the name.
Disenchanted.
Disenchanted, yeah. Yeah.
I think.
He says King of the Hill also better than Family Guy. HRW on the Twitch says Scooby-Doo was a pothead and sexually suggestive. Yoinks! It was? I mean, Shaggy was clearly high all of the time.
I don't even think it was potheads, like, suggested. It was like they did everything but actually show, like, them smoking on the show. Like, they basically, if you just watch it and you're like, these guys are high all the time, you're like, yeah. Uh-huh.
Were they all high or were just Shaggy and his dog high?
I think Shaggy and his dog.
Scooby-Doo.
Yes. Famously Scooby-Doo. And maybe the other three caught a contact.
Okay. Daphne, sup? By the way, they remade that show. It's like a Mindy Kaling thing on HBO. It is annoyingly woke. And again, like, to get me to say that on record and feel very comfortable saying it, it's just going to show you where that show is. Key from L.A. also, and again, RIP to the actor famous for playing Pee-wee Herman, Paul Rubens. He said not to do crack. He kept me off crack. That's true. But he was in the movie Blow. Well, yeah, cocaine used to be socially acceptable. It used to be. Sean's laughing. I'm not saying that this is Paul Gallant here for cocaine. I'm just saying there was a different time and place where it used to not be thought of as a big deal. Now, with any of that white powder stuff, good bleeping luck. One of my good friends died of fentanyl. Good luck with any of that stuff, guys. Be effing careful.
I'm just imagining Paul Gallant here for cocaine.
Just bought off by the Tijuana by cartel.
Big cocaine.
Oh yeah, big cocaine. Well, I mean, yeah, it's the Sinaloans or the Tijuanans or something like that. Anyway, let's go around the NFL really quickly. Sean Payton was asked to respond to what Aaron Rodgers said in response to him after he, of course, dumped all over Nathaniel Hackett and the previous Broncos operation. Hackett now with the New York Jets, also dumped on the Jets, going on Hard Knocks. Payton, in response to Aaron Rodgers saying, keep my coach's name out of your mouth, said, no, we're past it. Lame. And it's really funny that Sean Payton said that, yeah, I had my Fox hat on, when he never said anything at Fox, and now he's going back to his actual Fox hat. This is his Fox hat, just being a milquetoast person who stole $8 million away from Fox. Very curious to see how things are going to go for him in Denver.
That's the funniest part of, like, yeah, I just had my TV hat on. It's like, you didn't say anything remotely this interesting for the entire of last football season.
Name one person on those pregame and postgame shows that says anything interesting on TV as well. Like, maybe Boomer Esiason from time to time. That's really all I've got.
Nothing, like, memorable. It's always I don't know. Yeah.
I do like the Amazon one, though, with Fitzpatrick and Richard Sherman.
Oh, yeah. Sherman says stuff.
Sherman, of course, says a lot.
But I kind of like the Fox set because, A, it's just, like, laughably huge. And, B, like, it is a little bit inside the NBA where they're just not quite as funny as Shaq and Charles. But it is a lot of just, like,
Yuck is better than CBS's Yuck Yuck.
They try to make a point, or they do make a point, and then they laugh for 5 minutes because Michael Strahan, like, said something at the... Like,
or Jimmy Johnson, or
yeah.
Terry Bradshaw.
And, like, you know something about that, huh, Terry? And then, you know, that's all it is. Where it's like, yeah, just give me that, as opposed to, like, the completely antiseptic NBC set. It's just like, it's like a doctor's
Who
office.
Who has less energy, Tony Dungy or Jason Garrett? How creepy will Jason Garrett's smile be this time
and
around?
And now, to liven things up, we're on Mike Florio. Read some headlines.
Let's continue to go around the league. Alvin Kamara is going to meet with Roger Goodell tomorrow. I'm surprised he never faced any punishment for that incident in Las Vegas last year. It does make me wonder if Tyreek Hill is going to meet with Goodell after he settled with that incident where he hit a marina employee during a disagreement. There was a settlement that took place on June 18th. If you are playing fantasy football, I would at the very least know all that you possibly can before selecting both of these guys. There will be a point in the draft where you can take them, obviously, and you can't let them fall any further. But I would imagine that there's a chance that Kamara is suspended this year because he wasn't last year. And on top of that, that Hill faces some sort of suspension as well.
I feel like the Alvin Kamara thing, we've been doing this for like almost two seasons. Like it's 2 years, we're like, right. Is he going to get suspended?
It's got to happen at some point. I have a hard time buying into the idea.
Yeah, I probably after this meeting or shortly thereafter.
Right, I would think so. We'll see how many games it is for, but could end up being a steal in your fantasy draft. Dan Campbell's the head coach of the Detroit Lions. Everyone's getting very excited about them going into this year. They're going to be in the season opener against the Chiefs. They barely missed the playoffs last season after a rough start. And everyone likes Dan Campbell because of who he was on Hard Knocks. This is something that Dan Campbell is sad that he can't put on the Lions sideline in an interview he did with Part of My Take.
You talked to us last time on Part of My Take. You said that you had considered getting a pet lion on the sidelines.
I did.
Have you had any further conversations about bringing a live lion?
Well, I would say that she had no problem with it, but the league apparently frowns on those type of things.
Roger Goodell, John Gruden was right.
I'm not going to point out Roger on this. I'm just going to say that the league frowns on that. Let's just say that.
Okay, it'd be nice, though, to have a lion sitting behind Jack Fox being like, you better punt that.
It does add a little scare tactic.
It does.
You guys got to play.
It's
for
a little extra motivation. Yeah. Yes, it does.
I will say that now, if you have a jungle cat as a live mascot, you're beating everybody. So the Jaguars, the Panthers, the Bengals, the Lions. That's pretty good. Maybe the Chicago Bears having a live mascot would also be on the same page. But a bull would be pretty sick. It wouldn't quite be a buffalo like the Bills would have, but
no, the Buffaloes, the Buffalo Bills would just be Buffalo Bill like the man.
Yeah, but I think you'd get a buffalo.
I don't think, no, they're the Bills.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, so, just like the Browns, like what do they get?
So after the bear and the four jungle cats in the NFL, unless there's another I'm not thinking of off the top of my head, I feel like the Texans have the sixth toughest possible live mascot in the NFL.
Yeah, I think then you go, Giants.
Yeah, but there's no Giants in the world. So what are you going to put up? Boban?
Like Marjanovic?
Yeah, like a bull would beat Boban.
Okay.
Boban can't stop a bull.
Then we get to like the humans. Buccaneers, Cowboys.
No, they're all
do they get a gun?
No, they're all disarmed. They're all disarmed.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Jet.
That's not an animal. And plus, there's crows pecking at their necks. Listen, we've seen planes get taken down by birds before, right?
Oh. How about a blue collar steel mill worker?
I don't know. He's gonna be drunk.
Okay.
An eagle would be after the bull, I think.
Yeah,
Then you have all the other stupid birds. Last is a cardinal, because like a cat could eat a cardinal.
Yeah.
If it wanted
Again, Browns is also pretty low. Because I think they would be literally Paul Brown, like the corpse of Paul Brown.
I would think you. Yeah, that's fair.
The helmet.
I figured it would just be like, you know, rancid, like dysentery water. So like that is pretty dangerous.
Yeah. But that's how they got Paul Brown.
Yeah.
Viking. Oh, wait. Disarmed.
I can't read this screen name, but on the Twitch, would the Texans be a dude from Texas? Yeah, I suppose that would be the case, too, if we're going by that logic. That's why I think we should just go by, like, if it was a bull, it would be pretty sick.
Yeah, no, it would be awesome. Yeah, Viking also is a...
Viking, of all of the human mascots, that's number one.
Yeah.
Because they were were huge and, like, crazy.
Yeah, Viking and Chief, I feel like, are the top of the humans.
Depends on what kind of chief, though. What kind are we talking Northeastern Native American, or are we talking?
I think Great Plains, probably, because it's Kansas City. I imagine that's what they're referencing.
Okay, well, it really depends. It depends. Like if it's Comanche, great. Comanche's okay, but they'd have to have a horse, too. Anyway, there you go, everybody. Madden's also getting a makeover. We've heard that many a times before.
About 15 years too late.
The funny thing always is with the new Madden like updates, it's like, we're bringing back features that were in the game a decade ago.
Exactly.
And they're like, it's brand new.
Also, they will be unusably glitchy for the first 6 months of the game. Yes. Have fun, guys.
Every single time. Sean Mapes behind the glass on Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Astros are just a half game back of the Rangers, and there are rumors that link them to Justin Verlander with today's trade deadline at 5 o'clock. We'll keep you posted on those and tell you what happened at Texas training camp yesterday. Stick around.
Back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios and your favorite 10 to noon sports talk host, Paul Gallant. Give him hell, Paulie.
In response to our last conversation, text in, a Texan would be a cool live mascot. We can just trot out one of the many redneck picks. Hey, that's not cool. Nah, you got to get someone from Vider. Someone with just hate in their heart. But still, I feel like it's, as far as the human mascots of the NFL, the Viking, then the Giant, then the Patriot, because he's from Boston. No offense. Started a revolution, got in a fight, won the fight. Then you have the Cowboy, because I feel like Cowboys range like from person to person. Buccaneer, probably drunk half the time. And then that's where we get to like the if we're talking an 1800s Texan,
then we're
looking at a totally different human.
Viking, even like Buccaneer, Chief, Cowboy, they all like imply like a skill set. They all, you are a type of person if you are a Viking. It, like a Texan, like I'm a Texan. I would get slaughtered by a Cowboy. Like what are we talking about? A Buccaneer? Are you kidding me? I'd yank his beard. I don't know. I'd fight dirty.
Yeah, you got it. Got to fight.
But that, like, it could just be like one random Texan having to defend the honor of the entire state. And I don't know. There's a lot of variants, I'll say.
As far as Justin Verlander and the variants there, what a transition, Sean.
Someone who's not a Texan but lived here for a while.
Came here as soon as he could. Like most.
Not really. He really came here as late as he could in 2017.
No, he still came.
He could not have been here any later.
Here's the latest on Verlander. Per John Morosi, it's the Astros, Dodgers, Braves, and Orioles. And Sean, a mystery team has entered the fray, but they're not a mystery team. It's the Padres.
Yeah, thanks, John Heyman, for ruining the mystery.
God, John Heyman sucks. He's just the absolute worst. Learn how to do your hair, you slob. John Heyman once blocked me on Twitter because I said he was doing an agent's work for him. He went on a drunken rant that was very, very difficult to understand before he decided to block me. But people screen grabbed it and sent it along to me. He's a very tall man, John Heyman. And there you go. That's the latest on Justin Verlander.
And John Heyman. He also basically invented, I feel like he invented mystery teams because no other sport has a mystery. Like, you never, like, you know, there's a mystery team in there for Fred VanVleet. It's like, nope, we kind of know. Like, we kind of know who it is.
Sean, I've got a report for you right now, and I'm hearing this from my sources. I'm looking at the Gallant phone right now.
Oh, yeah, this is just like Schefter.
A mystery team has called about Yordan Alvarez.
Whoa.
Right. And that mystery team is the Astros medical staff because they're calling Yordan to ask him how he's doing because he said he felt uncomfortable even though he hit a home run yesterday.
Which hand hurts again?
Which oblique? Is it your oblique or is it your heel?
Have we been working on the wrong oblique?
They are. Listen, you know how I feel about State Farm, but is the Astros training staff worse than State Farm? 713-780-3776. Okay, guys. Houston Texans training camp yesterday. Was it a big deal or no big deal? CJ Stroud started with the ones, but he threw a pick on his first pass to Blake Cashman. Cashman having a good training camp thus far. he threw a pick six to Derek Stingley on a throw he was trying to get to Nico Collins and was 5 of 10 on the day. Meanwhile, Davis Mills was better yesterday. He had the best ball of the day, a deep pass to Xavier Hutchinson. We talked about yesterday how he definitely would have died had this been a real football game. Big deal or no big deal, Davis Mills looked better than CJ Stroud on Monday. I still think it's no big deal, but this competition is going to go on a lot longer than any of us want. Because Stroud's going to have to work through, I would imagine, some down moments in practice and has to officially earn the starting gig. Now, if you want to feel a little bit better about a lack of separation between Mills and Stroud, both quarterbacks ended practice with no touchdowns in a goal line period. So I don't think it's a big deal, but if we're hearing this 10 days from now, that will be frustrating. Thus far in training camp, CJ Stroud's thrown 2 interceptions. Davis Mills has thrown 2 interceptions. Per D'Amico Ryans, big deal or no big deal, Derek Stingley Jr. has had an, quote, amazing, end quote, training camp. He had that pick six, which we just talked about a moment ago. Anyone who has been around the Texans this offseason has noticed that Stingley is bigger. And I think that's big because if you saw him in the league last year, he did look very, very lean. Remember when Kevin Johnson was here with the Texans? First round draft pick, I want to say, was it
2015, 14?
Right. Thanks, Sean. Something yeah. Like that, yeah. He was very lean, and he had a lot of injury issues. Stingley's had some injury issues of his own over the last couple of years. Seeing Stingley bigger, that makes me excited, and hopefully this defense that the Texans run is going to suit his skill set a little bit better than that of Lovie Smith. I can't quite say it's a big deal, but it is making me happy and excited about what Stingley can do his second season.
Yeah, his size, that's great. It's to be, you know, working on getting more of an NFL body, like that's always good, especially a guy who, like Kevin Johnson, has had some injury issues.
Yeah.
Not ready quite to slap him with a Kevin Johnson tag, but he's had some injury issues of his own.
The thing that sucks right now the most, Sean, about Derek Stingley is that Sauce Gardner went right after him, and yeah. Gardner was awesome. And there was another corner taken in, what, the fourth round?
Tariq Woolen
by the Seahawks. He's been awesome as well. So he is with Pete Carroll. That's almost like a cheat code if you're a rookie defensive back. Like, that's the best coach to have as a head coach if you're a defensive
also,
back.
Also, the rookie years, one was with Pete Carroll, the other one was Lovie Smith in 2023, or 2022, actually, to be fair. I think that although out of any position to be like awesome at training camp, I feel like the one I can take the most out of is corner or defensive back. Is like
in receiver. I agree.
It is the most, like, what you're doing even without pads on is the closest to what you will be doing with pads on.
100%. Totally agree with you on that front. Will Anderson, big deal or no big deal, picking up of where we left off yesterday, where Jerry Hughes said he has Von Miller ability. He was constantly in the backfield, per DJ Bien-Aimé, Talking Texans podcast. Catch it weekly. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, and on YouTube, too. He was going against the second team, but in this wide nine defense, they're using him at this spot where he lines up wide of the tight end. And essentially, D'Amico Ryans said of Will Anderson, we're not going to slow him down. So you contrast that with Jadeveon Clowney when the Texans brought him in. The Texans were asking Clowney to do a million different things. They're asking him to drop back in coverage at first. They really were telling him to do a lot. They would have him move on in the interior of the defensive line as well. Not as much in the rookie season, obviously, because he didn't play very much. But I love hearing that they are just making it as simple as possible for Will Anderson right out of the gates. And if they're just going to line him out wide of a tight end and say, run as fast as you possibly can upfield, we're not going to slow you down, that is a big deal. That excites me. I think that things, and I said this on a couple of shows earlier, I think things are trending towards Will Anderson having a very statistically productive year, his first year in the NFL. More thoughts on the defense. It was physical, and D'Amico said afterwards that our scheme intends to make the first move. The offense also couldn't run the ball. That's not a great look for the offensive line, who you've invested a lot of money in, especially considering that you have Damian Pierce in the backfield.
Could be a, hey, defense, the run defense at least, is, or the front seven is taking a step up. But yeah, no, ultimately probably says more about the offense than it does the defense.
Offense always behind the defense at this point in time. Yeah. Sheldon Rankins was back to mention, Sean, in the interior of the defensive line, who they actually finally had out there. Here is a surprise standout to this point. Blake Cashman had an interception for the second straight day. He almost had two interceptions yesterday on the first pass that C.J. Stroud threw. He was working with the ones. Christian Harris had this to say about Cashman's two picks. They throwing it up by him, and I don't know why. He's definitely a playmaker. It's great to see him out there snapping. Meanwhile, Christian Kirksey not practicing. I want to say this is a big deal. Any production, any confidence out of a middle linebacker, any linebacker for the Texans is good, because I really want them to move on from Christian Kirksey. Their linebacker core was terrible last season. Paul Galacho, ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in as well. What's going on with baseball's trade deadline at 5 o'clock tonight? And has there been a better story for the Houston Astros this year than J.P. France? Paul Gallant Show, stick around.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, right where you belong.
You're the only one left of the win.